Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
If you don't know me, my name is Aaron Varner. I have the great privilege of being the senior pastor here. Today is a special day for us as we celebrate our 76th anniversary. Last year, we had such a big shindig that this year we've pulled it back a little bit. We're just going to have lunch together, which is good, and then afterwards we'll have our family meeting go over our budget and a few business things that we'll handle, and we'll come back in here after lunch. And so we invite you all to join us for lunch, and then join us for that family meeting as well. Even if you aren't a member, I encourage you to come and just see what happens. I think through the years, one of the things that I've really tried to do here at West Hill is to change our approach and how we approach business. Because for the first several years that I was here, I saw people that were nice, genuine people, and then we get into a business meeting and it's like a whole different person. And I'm like, wait, there's something wrong with this. Like, there is something drastically wrong with this. And so really, I want us to celebrate, one, we're a family. We're a family that God has brought together, and I want us to enjoy. We get to break bread together. But also, when we meet together and have our business, there should be no different than when we were sitting and eating. When we talk and share, it's like we do at our dinner table. And, you know, we laugh a lot at our dinner table. And then there's other times where it's pretty serious. And then there's other times that correction has to happen. Because especially when the kids were smaller, you know how it is. You get those, I won't name who it was or who it is most of the time, but usually there's one and they always instigate the others. And so there's time that you just are like, hey, okay, that's enough, or that's not appropriate. And it's just family time. And we want to have that time. And so we're excited about having that time today. As we walk through today, today is a little bit different than the last 3 weeks. If you missed the last 3 weeks, I encourage you to go back and to listen to those sermons as we walked through a series just talking about God and how big He is and how awesome He is, and then what it looks like as we walk obediently with Him and the importance of that. Today, I want to take just a Sunday, and we're going to look at Psalm 50 in a minute. You don't have to turn there yet. But we're going to look at that at the end here. But I want to give just a kind of review, a quick review, what I call the state of the church. I'm not a president, and I'm not going to give you the State of the Union address here. I remember how many of you had to watch it for a school project sometime in high school, right? Even in college, I remember having to watch it and then write something about it, and it was all I could do to stay awake. Maybe you didn't have to do that. Maybe I'm getting too political. Is that what it is? What's going on here? You guys are awake, right? So this morning, I just want to share a little bit of a review of our year of the ministry here at West Hill, and then to look at Psalm 50 and why I think it's important for us to give thanks to the Lord. I think it's important as we think about all the things that we may do. The psalmist helps us as we look at Psalm 50 and to see the importance of giving thanks and what God thinks of that. Before we pray, I just want to thank each of you who came yesterday, who participated yesterday as we celebrated the life of Pam Sears. Pam was a faithful child of the Lord, great, wonderful friend and member of our church for many, many years. And so thanks, Nick and Tammy and all of your family. It was a great day of celebrating. Thanks for allowing me to help lead that. And for all of you who came and were here and part of that, that was a special day. And so thank you for being here. We got word yesterday afternoon that another old, I shouldn't say old, old-time member is what I was going to say, but Lana Evans passed away yesterday morning. So you can be praying for John and his family as they walk through this time. So would you pray with me as we begin together? Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that we can praise You because of who You are. While we see Your wonderful deeds, and we're going to speak about some of what You've been doing in our hearts and our lives, Lord, You are worthy to be praised just because You're God. And so we desire to make sure that as we see you working, even in those times where we walk through deserts or times where we don't see, it's not as obvious to see your workings, Lord, that we can still fall upon your character, and it's because of who you are that we love you and we follow you and we walk obediently with you. Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you as we sang, Lord, that Jesus is what we need, and we come to you not as perfect people, but as imperfect people in need of a Savior. We thank you that you gave your son, Jesus, and that he died on the cross, was buried, and that he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and death, so that we could have the hope of a relationship with you for all of eternity. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that deals with our sin. It washes our sin away. And it's not as though we are perfect. Again, we are imperfect people, but we have a perfect Savior, Jesus, and we're thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection. So we come today in the name of Jesus before your throne, the mercy seat. We come boldly because of that blood. We come praising you and thanking you for who you are. And we come lifting our requests, knowing that you hear us. And we are so grateful and thankful that you are a God who is alive and who continues to work and sustain not only our worlds and how we live in our lives, but the whole world, the whole, everything that we see and that we don't see, both the spiritual and the physical realms. Lord, you are in control of all, and we praise you and thank you that we can trust you, that we can lean on you, because your arms are everlasting, as we sing. Lord, as we spend this time together, we do pray that you will encourage our hearts. May we continue to look to you as the one who gives life and the one who gives us meaning and purpose. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate life yesterday and with Pam and her family. We pray for the seeds that were planted, the seeds of the gospel. And we pray that you would help those to grow and that we would see fruit from that. As we continue to see fruit from Pam's life, Lord, we give you praise and thanks for that. We thank you for Lana Evans and for her love for you and for her family. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them and encourage John and their family, Lord. Give them strength, Lord, as they mourn. We thank you again that we mourn as those who do not have hope. Lord, we mourn knowing that there is hope, that this life that we live now, it is not the end. And so, Lord, may you provide comfort and peace to the Evans family. Lord, we thank you again for this church, for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, may we not take any pride or arrogance in what you've been doing. Lord, we give it to you. We desire, Lord, it is my desire this morning that you would get the praise, because it's your spirit, your word, the gospel message that continues to change lives and continues to do a work in each of us. And so we are grateful and thankful, and we ask that you will continue to pour out your spirit upon us, that we may continue to be faithful. And so encourage our hearts. Challenge us. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We've gone through a theme this year, and a couple weeks ago, as my family so often does, you remember that dinner table that I talked about? Well, they were correcting me, and I needed corrected, because for months now, nobody told me this, but I've been saying our theme verse wrong. Did you know that? How many of you knew that and you didn't tell me? Oh my goodness, all of you. Well, that shows a couple things. One, I make mistakes, right? Two, you are very gracious. Not one of you came up to me and was like, Pastor, you got to fix this. Let's read it together, and I will try my best to read it correctly this time. Some of you are like, what? What are you talking about? Well, I just read it wrong. We're going to read it right. Let's read it the way it says, all right? So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Romans 12:5. Individually, not individual members. I'm glad you guys are paying attention. This has been our theme for this year as we've walked through different passages. We walked through the book of Ephesians. This has been our year. If you don't know the routine now, I generally go through a New Testament book, and then the next year I go through an Old Testament book, and then the next year go back to the New Testament. And so this year we were in the New Testament, as last year I was in the book of Ezra. This year we walked through the book of Ephesians, along with looking at multiple passages that talked about one another and what that looked like, not only to the early church, but what does it look like for us today as we live our lives, and God's desire for us to be one anothering. And as we see this verse, it reminds us again, while we are many, individually we are members of one body. And that body, we know, is the body of Christ. And Christ is the head, and so we follow him. A couple things that as we walked through this year, I want to share a couple things. We started this year, actually at the conclusion of 2024, we rolled right into 2025, and we began the largest project since 1970 that this church has seen. And that was our facilities improvement project of our restrooms and our storage room. And it became a project that we estimated would be around $500,000. $530,000 is the final numbers as we've kind of rolled it, if you look at that. So it was a little bit more than what we anticipated. And yet God has continued to provide. And out of that $530,000, God has supplied close to $310,000 of that. And so we have roughly a bill of $220,000 left. And so we praise the Lord, not for that bill, but we praise the Lord for how he's already provided. In just a short time, how God has provided over $300,000 for this project. Thank you, Eric. At any point this morning that you would like to say amen, you are allowed. I'm giving you permission, okay? Because it is God at work. Again, we don't take the credit this morning. We want to give glory to God. Amen? Thank you. Again, to put in perspective, 1970, that was a long time ago, right? 55 years ago? That's a long time. Our largest project, financial, physical project that we've undertook that this church has been a part of. And we've seen God provide. And we praise the Lord for the facilities that he's given us. And as I said a few weeks ago, somebody told me yesterday they had just the first time they had seen them. And they're like, yeah, it's like we could have a party in there. And I'm like, yes, see, I told somebody we could lower a disco ball out of the ceiling. And we won't do that. But we praise the Lord for the wonderful facilities that we have. When we think about people, I think about our staff. And I'll get to our staff in a minute. But when I think about our leadership, I think about how the Lord has provided for us two full boards. We have a deacon board and a trustee board. And they make up what is called church council. And those 12, six on each board, have done a tremendous job this year. And out of those 12, eight of those 12 currently serving are currently serving in their first term here at West Hill. So what does that tell you? Eight out of the 12 are currently serving in their first term. That's new people. And we praise the Lord for that. New leaders that God is raising up. And we thank the Lord for those four who have served before, and we thank the Lord for those eight that are learning, growing. I think about an intern that we had for almost a full year, in Katie Rogers. And Katie served in an important role as we walked through not only 2024, but the beginning of 2025. And she saw us walk through the close of Awana, and then helped us with Vacation Bible School and helping to organize that and lead that, along with then going on one of our trips, our ministry trips down to Tennessee. Kitty was an important and instrumental in our children's ministry in the early part of 2025. One of the things that I like to do is I like to sit with our interns, not only when they start, but at when they're finished, at the end of their internship. And one of the things that I want to share with you is something that really stood out to me that Katie shared about the church. As she came in as kind of an outsider and came in and ministered for almost a year, well, really was a year, from August of 2024 to August of 2025. Katie said this. I said, how would you describe your time here in the ministry, and how would you describe the church? And she shared some different things. And she said, one of the things that really stands out to me about West Hill is not only how well and organized it is, she said, but I've never been a part of a church where there's so little gossip. That's huge. That hit me. And I'm like, duh. But then it hit me. It's like, that can't be said in a lot of churches. And Katie shared some stories because I asked her to share a little bit more. And part of it was just her story and how she was involved in some other churches in her growing up years. And she said, we don't have any of that here. And she said, it's so refreshing. And so I just want to thank you as your pastor. And I want to compliment you, and I also want to charge you to continue to not gossip, but praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for what he is doing in our church. That's a huge encouragement that you spoke to a young lady as she's growing in her faith to give her a picture of what the church should look like. Well done. I think of our time with Georgia and celebrating Georgia's 37 years. Georgia started July in 1988, almost when we began that first project in 1970. She was a teenager, but in 1988 in July through August of 2025, Georgia's faithfulness, we had the great privilege of celebrating, right? And we thank the Lord for her. And then Julie stepped right into those huge, enormous, gigantic shoes. And Julie has done a fantastic job of stepping in and being there and learning and growing. And she gives me some of the same looks that Georgia gave me, which makes me feel right at home. And so we are grateful for that transition. And just thankful for, again, for people and how God is working. And then we hired the first time since 2014. In 2014, we stepped out in faith and we hired Megan McNulty. She's Megan Landis right now. And Megan served as the director of children's ministry for a year here. And it hasn't been since 2014 that we had a full part-time person in that position. And so in August, we hired Lene as that director of children's ministry. And I know I am biased, and so I will be careful what words I share here. But I think many of you could stand up here and share about how great it is to have Lene in that role and the great job that she continues to do in serving and leading our children's ministry. Amen. Good. It's not just me. I am biased. I know I am. Because there's nothing, I don't know if there's not too many better things than being able to serve alongside of your daughter. It is a great joy to serve Jesus with her. Then I think of Andrew, who came in 2014, and he has celebrated 10 years. It's amazing. 10 years. Over 10 years now in that role. And Leah's like, yeah. She said, slay. I'm not sure what that means, but sure, I will take that as a good thing. And so we continue to thank the Lord for Andrew and serving in that role as he continues to play his beautiful, nice guitar. And we're thankful for his gifting and just his leadership in that role now for over 10 years, which is amazing, close to 11 now. Thankful for Pastor Ed. And he came, him and Gail came in 2012. And Pastor Ed has served in that role for many, many years. And so grateful for Ed and Gail and for their faithfulness and how they continue to love Jesus. And even Pastor Ed getting up and playing his guitar at the ripe old age of 35. So we're thankful for that. Think of Pastor David and how we will celebrate in January 20 years. Pastor David will be here at West Hill serving in his role as associate pastor in January for 20 years. He started when he was five. Again, grateful for people, right? This is about God's people who God has brought. And I just want you to know it is rare to be in a church with staff that stay that long. I think some of you, I think some of you don't realize what we have and the gift that is. And so we praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord that I'm finishing up my 21st year as senior pastor and 26 and a half years at West Hill. When I think about more people, I think about our other staff that we support, not only through our giving, but through our prayers and through encouragements as they come. It's our missionaries. And our missionaries, we have 12 missionary families that we support or individuals that are continuing to spread the gospel here in Akron, but across the globe. And we're thankful for those 12 family units and how God continues to use them as an extension of West Hill Baptist Church. We also support 8 missionary organizations that continue to serve and provide in multiple different ways, different people, but at the heart of each one of those missions organizations is the gospel message, making sure the gospel message is shared as they serve others. It's a privilege to be able to be associated with so many missionaries and missions organizations. As I think about more of our ministries here, I think about how busy our summer was. Our summer was just packed full of ministry, a ministry that we, a kind of summer we haven't seen since before COVID, really. A couple of the things that God allowed us to do, we God allowed a group of ladies to go over to Portugal and to minister there in Portugal and to spend 10 days to go and to minister and to love on the people there and to the churches and to be able to encourage, but also, again, to share the love of Jesus. I think about our Canada wilderness trip in June that we could take a group of 12 of us and we adventured into the wilderness and how we grew and how God taught us so many different things. And that opportunity to be able to take a week and live out in the wilderness was such a privilege and such a great, again, tool to be able to use in the hearts and the lives of each one who attended, that they can take resources and tools with them that I know some have continued to take in their lives. I think about Nick. Nick went on multiple trips and how we still talk about those trips. You didn't have to go through the world's worst storm, though, but I know you would have loved it. Think about our Tennessee trip, ministry trip that we were able to take in July as a group of us went, and we were able to serve missions, ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. Their missionaries were having a conference, and we were able to take their children and to minister to those children while the adults were in the conference. And what a joy it was that we packed up our vacation Bible school, we threw it in a trailer, and we took it on the road, and just a great group of people who willingly gave up their time, their energy, their efforts, and we were able to minister to 50 children down there and just had an absolute blast. It was so much fun. I still hear reports of how much those children just had such a great time, and how much just what we taught and the songs that they sang, how it resonated with them. Thankful. I think of our family carnival that, again, we had for another year, and just the impact that we could have in our community. Not only that, but then our Vacation Bible School this summer in July. And then we just celebrated with our trunk and treat, with handing out, we invite the Gideons to come. Not only did every child that came, they get a gospel track that we put in, they get candy, but we make sure that the gospel track, every one of them gets that as well. And we pray over those, and we pray and we continue to pray that God would use those tracks to impact the hearts and lives of those children and their families. But we were also able to hand out over 300 Bibles that night, the Gideons. Praise the Lord for that. Again, sometimes we forget and we fail to realize these little seeds that we've tried and that we're attempting with God's help as He leads us, that we're trying to plant, that God would allow it to take root and to grow. Thankful. And I just talked with Eva, and she shared with me the report. She took our shoe boxes that we collected, and our goal was to have 50 shoe boxes, and she took 57 shoe boxes on Thursday and delivered those. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and I thank you for being a part of that and coming together to be able to give, again, a little treat, a little way of giving a tangible love gift, but also knowing that the gospel message goes along with that. Thank you for being a part of that. It really is about people. And I could share story after story about how God has worked in different people in different lives. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people that have gotten baptized. We've seen people that have joined our church. It isn't about this facility. It's not about a place. It's not even really about you and me. It's about Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done in each of us that changes us. And that's what brings us together to live life together as one another. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you, if you would, turn with me briefly as we look at Psalm 50. There's two sections in this psalm, and I'm going to have you stand in a minute and read it with me, because you've been such out of practice that when Pastor David asks you to stand, you grumble. So we're going to work on that. But as we look at this psalm, there's two sections. The first section we'll walk through as God kind of, again, there's a description of who God is. In the second section, after that word Selah, because that word Selah is really a pause or a break. Because remember the Psalms, it's a musical, all right? I'm not going to sing it to you. We'll read it this morning. That's where you say amen. Thank you for not singing it to me. But remember, it is a song, all right? And so Israel, as they would read this, they wouldn't read it. They would actually sing it. And as they sung it, they would sing this first part, and then there would be a pause of a reflection. But also to note that there is something coming that would connect the first part with this second part. And so if you're willing and able, you have your text in front of you, if you would stand with me, it'll also be up on the screen behind me, but would you follow along as we read together Psalm 50? Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. You see a thief, and you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was like one of yourselves, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. As we look at this text, we are again reminded of this first section, the mighty one, the God, the Lord, Yahweh there, the uppercase lettering, leaving the vowels out, of this God that is so big that he's really not worthy even of us to, he's more worthy that we can't even speak his name. This is the God that this psalmist writes about out of Zion, again, out of heaven, out of the glory, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silent. I'm glad God doesn't keep silent. There may be times that we don't want to hear what he has to say, but I'm thankful that God doesn't keep silent, that God continues to chase after us. As we see here, his beauty, he calls from the heavens above to the earth that he may judge his people. We know as we read the text in other places that we see in the scriptures, when God judges people, we should take note. We should have in us a fear of realizing who God is and who we are. And so there's this realization, as God says, gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, because who is the judge? God is the judge. I was able to get away this week just out into the woods, and that's where I do my best thinking and praying. And I know some of you, it's the Hilton for me. That would be fun, but not my way of communing with God. So I found my friend has just a little barn. It's really just a barn that you would have like your shed. You would call it a shed. You put your lawnmower, your equipment in it. He's turned it into what he calls a little cabin. And mainly what that entails is there's a place that I can open up my cot. There's a table there with a little burner stove, and there's a stove that you can cook on or that you will use to heat up your little space. And so the Lord and I just had a great time together. I went out and cut some trees, chopped some wood, and burned it. And kept myself warm until about 12:30 when you wake up, and you can't turn the thermostat, but you got to throw more logs on the fire. Either that or you stay bundled up in your sleeping bag, and you're like, I'm not getting up. Not yet. In my time alone with the Lord, one of the things that drew me back was this question of, who am I trying to please? In this text, we're reminded here in verse 6, because God is going to come to the people, two different types of people, but very clearly, before the pause, before the break, before God appears to them, there's this line that it reminds each one of us that God himself is the judge. So as you live life, this is a reminder that God reminded me, who am I trying to please? How many of you are a people pleaser? All right, a few of you. For all of you others, just disregard what I'm going to say. For all of us who are people pleasers, it's really hard. This is hard because we want people to like us. We want to make people happy. It's part of the gift that God has given us as we serve people. But I've always said, what is our greatest strength is usually our greatest weakness. And in pleasing people, that can become what fuels us. And this is a reminder for us, for all of us, whether you're a people pleaser or not. It's a reminder that we will stand before God one day and we will give an account for how we've lived our life. He is the judge. What's interesting is what we will see in this text of what God desires from us. So who am I trying to please? Well, it needs to be the judge, right? It needs to be the one who I will stand before, who I will give an account to, because ultimately that's what's most important. And as a church, we need to be about not pleasing each other, not pleasing something else or someone else, but pleasing the Lord, doing what he's asked of us. God bless you. Walking with him in such a way that as he speaks to us, we are recklessly obedient. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's a good sermon series. God is the judge. Who are you trying to please? Sometimes we try to please ourselves, don't we? And that's some of the issue that we read about the church, the early church in the New Testament. What's the source of quarrels and fights among you? You're selfish. You want something, and so you beat up your brother in order to get it. Maybe not physically. God himself is the judge. You will answer to him. You don't answer to me. I always find that interesting. Whenever I ride in a plane or I'm talking with a conversation with somebody, a stranger, I do not tell them that I'm a pastor. I'm not ashamed of it at all. I'm glad I'm a pastor. I'm not afraid to say I'm a pastor. But I don't tell them I'm a pastor because I want them to be free to be themselves. Because the moment that they know that I'm a pastor, everything changes. And I love it, those people who just like talk freely and then they realize like what my role is in life that God's called me to, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I should not talk that way. It's like they have, like, they're reporting to me. Like, they're accountable to me. No, the truth is they're accountable to God. You are accountable to God. And how you are living your life, you will have to speak to God about that. Don't let others dictate how you live your life. The body, we are to encourage one another. We are to edify, to build up one another. We are to serve one another. There's lots of one anothering that should be happening. But ultimately, people will let us down. People will fail us. There will be times where we just feel in the dumps because we can't please people. We have to please one person. As it's often been said, we have an audience of one. Who's your audience? Is it you? You shouldn't be the one. It should be the Lord. So as we see God himself as the judge, we see him then after this pause, this break, the gathering of his people, the faithful ones, it says in verse 5, we see here God speaking. Verse 7, hear, O people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify to you, I am God, your God. Hear, O West Hill, God wants to speak to us today. He is God, and he is our God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. West Hill, you do a lot. And you're sacrificing and you're doing, all of that is wonderful. And so I don't rebuke you in that. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. I don't need more from you, West Hill. For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns it all. I have a friend who, whenever we have some financial things, I serve on the board with him down at Skyview and Patmos. And Mike's been so good. When we have an issue or a need, a financial need, he said, let's just pray that God will sell one of his cows on 1,000 hills. I'm like, yes, that's so good. If he owns them all, we'll just ask him to sell one. It's great. God says, I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. Everything that is happening around us, God knows. When you're out in the wilderness, and I don't know if I would call where I was this week the wilderness. It was out in the field in the woods. I came out the one morning, and I see 6 turkey. They're just out there in the field, and it's pretty cool. And then as I'm watching them, and I took a couple pictures so I could show other people that have never seen like wild turkeys out in the wilderness, I turn to my left, and all of a sudden I see in the midst, there's 24 more wild turkeys out there. I'm like, this is so cool. And it reminded me, like, I see just this. Right? God says, listen, I see it all. I got it all. I know it all. I know when a sparrow falls from a tree. I know how many hairs are on your head. God knows it all. And so in that sense, as we see, God is saying, listen, I know all about the cows, the birds, everything that you may bring to me as a sacrifice. I don't want any more of that. I own all of that. And so when you think about your life, is there anything in your life that God doesn't own? In January, if you answered that in a negative, in the positive, in the wrong way, I'll just say, in January, we're going to walk through our stewardship series again, because it reminds us that we are not owners, we're just stewards. God owns it. And so God is reminding them, and he gets to this point now where now in verse 12 he says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why am I going to talk to you if I'm hungry? Which makes me wonder, does God get hungry? What does he eat? Pretty cool. For the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He's not trying to be gross here. What he's talking about is the sacrificial process. That when you sacrifice an animal, it's the blood that gets poured out or splattered. That's what takes the sin away. That's the importance. It's the blood. He's not trying to be gory here. It's not like he's a vampire god drinking blood. No, he's not. He's saying, listen, I'm not worried about this. He's building up to what we see here in verse 14, where then God says this, offer to God, which is interesting because he's talking about himself, and this word God really speaks, it's the same word that we see in the book of Genesis when God says to Adam and Eve, let's create man in our image, the image of God. He created them. Offer to God, tri-living God, offer to God a sacrifice of what? Of thanksgiving. The Hebrew phrase, you may have even a note there in your text, it says to make thanksgiving your sacrifice to God. It doesn't say make thanksgiving turkey your sacrifice to God. It says make thanksgiving your sacrifice to God. Interesting that God would desire, out of all the things that the psalmist could write, that God would want, that God would desire our thanksgiving. He says, and perform your vows to the Most High. To remember, there's a couple that just celebrated their 10th anniversary this week, and I won't call them out. But as they did this, they just had a sweet time of renewing their vows. God is, in that same way, asking his people, and it can be even applied to us today in the church, remember what you've said to me. As a nation of Israel, remember the vows that you've made. Why you're offering those sacrifices? Because I'm your God who has delivered you. I've brought you out from all the other nations and made you unique. I've made you people that are holy. People that have been called out from all these other nations to be my people and I your God. In that same way, the ecclesia, the church, we've been called out. You've been called to a relationship with God. Remember what you've said. Remember what you've claimed. To claim Christ as your Savior. To believe that he was the perfect sacrifice for your sin. Remember why you're living life. I love what he says here in verse 15. He continues the sentence. There isn't necessarily a pause here. He says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Today we gather to give thanks to God. Thanks for what he has done and what he continues to do in each of our lives. And as a church, we ask that God will continue to provide for us, knowing that it isn't our sacrifice. It shouldn't be just that, hey, I got to get to church early because I'm going to be a greeter today, or I'm serving at the soundboard today so that the band can sound good, or I'm playing an instrument today, or I'm teaching today. All of those are good things, but that's not our purpose. The purpose is to glorify God. And as we do those things, ultimately, we need to be reminded it is an act of thanksgiving, an act of thanks of what God has already done, and this promise that God will continue to deliver his people. Let me remind us, though, that our delivery sometimes looks different than God's delivery. Sometimes delivery isn't taking you out of a situation. It's, in fact, keeping you in that situation and God's presence being real with you, that God's peace would speak to you as you walk through that trial so that you could say, I'm going to count it all joy when I'm falling into this various trial because God is working in me. Interesting, now here we see another group of people. And we'll walk quickly through this section. It says, but to the wicked God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or to take my covenant on your lips? And then he walks through a description of how they're living life. You who think that you're my beloved, this is a challenge and this is a reminder to us. I think sometimes there are people who will walk into church today who think they're okay. They're good enough. It's nothing new. It was here even amongst the nation of Israel. There were some who God very quickly calls them out and calls them wicked. You are doing all of these things but you're also doing these. Your heart is wicked. I want to just challenge you today. As you sit here today, you don't have anything to offer to God. It's interesting because I've heard preachers, and even online, it drives me crazy. Because in our world, we've bought into this concept to think that we have something that God needs. God doesn't need anything from you and me because he already owns it all. We talked about it. You aren't good in and of yourself. We are made in the image of our Creator. That's the best thing about us. The issue at hand is we have a sin condition, and every one of us is born with it. It's not that one person's better than the other, or that there's this sliding scale that we like to impose when we think about, well, my life isn't that bad compared to. But we never compare ourselves to the really good people. Why is that? Because we want to feel like we're good enough. The truth is, we're not good enough. You are not ever going to be enough. But Jesus is. Jesus is enough for you. And we are all in that same boat. We need Jesus. You need Jesus more than you probably even realize. I'm realizing more and more every day how much I need Jesus. And that relationship, it takes root when we come to a saving knowledge and understanding that when I need Jesus, what do I need him for? I need him in order to have a relationship with God for all of eternity. Because I have a sin condition that keeps me from him. And the only thing that can rectify that and make that right is when I place my faith and trust in Jesus alone. Jesus alone makes us right. And so that when God looks at you and me, he doesn't look at me as a wicked man. He sees me as righteous, not because of any righteousness that I've done, but God, the creator and the maker and the sustainer of the universe, looks at me as his child because of Jesus. Do you have Jesus? Or are you just playing a game? Don't play the game, because God can see deeper into your life. And he wants you to experience that ongoing relationship with him. But remember, it's not about just doing these things. It's about talking with him. It's about giving him thanks. It's about a realization of who God is as our judge, as the creator. And so I rebuke you who don't know Jesus, who are playing a game. You're going to lose. Even some of you who are Christ followers, maybe playing the game too. You know why I know that? It's because the Bible tells me. There will be some who stand before Jesus who will say, Jesus, I did this in your name, or I did this and I did this. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Those people knew about Jesus, but Jesus didn't know them. Don't play the game. God wants a real relationship with you, and he invites you to that. Enjoy that. Is it hard? You bet. It'll be the hardest thing that you ever do in your whole entire life, but that's the beauty of it, because you don't do it. God does it in you and through you, because he wants to use you to display his glory. Verse 23, as we finish. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. We offer thanksgiving as a sacrifice. Some days it's easy to give thanks to God. Other days it is a sacrifice. And yet that's what we're called as children of God, to not just give thanks, but to also order my way rightly. God, would you allow me to walk according to your path, to live according to your word? That's why we must always continually be in God's word. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you how you love us and you care for us and you provide for us. We thank you, Lord, for how you have worked in us and in the ministry here of West Hill in 2025. And we pray that you will help us to finish strong in this year. There are things coming up on our schedule, but I'm sure there are things on your schedule, Lord, that you are doing behind the scenes that we don't see. And so, Lord, help us to continue to order our way rightly in your eyes, that we may see your salvation. God, you are the only one who can provide salvation. You are the only one who can direct our paths in the right way. And so we look to you, giving thanks for what you have done, but also giving thanks for what you're going to do. Help us to lean upon you, to look to you as our true God, because we want you to get the glory, because you're worthy of all of the glory, all of the honor, of all of the praise. So, Lord, may we not be ashamed to claim that you are our God and that Jesus is our hope and in him is our salvation. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.